Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Baer. When you hear these words, all of Michigan's bars and restaurants will be closed. As per Governor Whitmer's order enacted earlier today, the effort to slow the spread of COVID-19 has moved into the service industry. Many locations can still provide takeout, but as for dining in person, that's done for the foreseeable future. Please remember that if you need to know the latest, Michigan Radio is working hard to keep our website up to date. Many of the questions you may have right now can be answered there. But first, just like that, Michigan's kids have become homeschoolers. Since the governor ordered schools closed last week, educators, parents, and students find themselves in an unprecedented situation. They're implementing distance learning, home study, and remote student services virtually on the fly. Rick Heitmeyer is the superintendent of Baldwin Community Schools. He joins us now by Skype. Rick, hi there.
Hi.
Hey, can you tell us a little bit about what the parent reaction was when you announced that classes would be canceled?
Well, I think that the governor beat us before we were able to announce it. So I think a lot of people knew going into Friday what was coming. So, you know, we were hopeful that we would have enough kids there to even count Friday after the big announcement at 11 o'clock on Thursday night. And we did have enough. But, you know, I think people were just surprised. Some people were a little bit nervous.
For sure. Would you say that what's happening right now feels very real yet for folks in Western Michigan?
This is so surreal. You know, it's hard to explain. It's just really interesting, really eerie, actually.
For sure. Many districts have had concerns about how families that experience food insecurity might do during an extended break like this. What has Baldwin's strategy been for kids who are normally relying on school breakfast and school lunches?
We looked at a few different options, and what we ended up doing is we have three school vans, and we are going to three different areas in our district, and we are handing out breakfast and lunch at 9:30 in the morning. We're actually doing multiple days in one day, but we just want people to know that we do have food available, and we're there to make sure they get it, because that's one of our biggest fears from the beginning is, if this is going to happen, how are we going to make sure that all these kids we feed every day can still eat?
Meaning to say, those who are able to get the drop-offs will get multiple days' meals in one delivery, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Sure. I know that there's a lot going on right now, but what are your concerns about the need to stay on schedule? I don't even know if you're there yet, but many, many schools are on a pretty strict regime for the stuff kids need to learn so that they can be tested when the time comes. Do you have any idea about what this is going to mean for academics?
Well, that is a huge concern because, you know, there's a lot of research that says when you miss one day of school, it's bad. You miss 10 days, it's worse. Now, you know, we're going to miss we don't know how many days. For us right now, it's 5 days. And then we actually were going into what we call intercession and then spring break. So right now we're only losing 5 days of instruction. But if this gets stretched out longer, then it's going to be multiple days. And, you know, I don't know how or when they'll be able to be made up. But you're certainly looking at kids being, you know, set back academically.
Are there different concerns for your elementary age kids and for your middle and high schoolers?
Yeah, I mean, there's different concerns, more or less. You know, they're going to miss academic time. They're not going to learn. But your older kids, your seniors, you know, if this somehow gets extended, you know, through, say, June, you know, I think that they still graduate, but they haven't completed everything. So how does that work? You know, those are questions that we're really going to need some guidance on, because this is so unprecedented. But, you know, kids are losing learning time.
For sure.
So, you know, do our third graders move to fourth grade, or do we have some academy at the start of the next school year where you spend 6 weeks making sure that you finish up the previous grade? I don't know what it's going to look like, and those answers aren't out there. So it's gonna be some deep thinking about how we make sure we fill some gaps, because we already deal with gaps all the time.
Rick, what will your school's staffs be doing during this period? I imagine a lot of them do have kids of their own.
I imagine that a lot of staff members will be working with their own kids. Some of my staff is staying in touch with their kids. We at the secondary level, we set up Google Classrooms. So I know that teachers are going to be giving out different assignments and looking at those assignments. I know that the elementary teachers were finding ways to keep in touch with kids, sending home lots of books and materials. So, you know, since we had about a day to prepare for this, I'm really pleased with the way the staff at Baldwin was able to put things together and give things to kids to work on during however long the extended break might be.
We've been speaking with the superintendent of Baldwin Community Schools, Rick Heitmeyer. Rick, thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Let's turn now to another of Michigan's districts. Renee Garcia is the superintendent of Muskegon Heights Schools. Mrs. Garcia, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you.
How are you holding up?
We're getting through it. It's a journey.
What were principals and teachers and maybe parents' top line concerns about sending kids home?
You know, I think our greatest concerns in our community is, one, just to, first of all, make sure that we're taking care of basic needs. There's a lot of anxiousness around this, so we want to be able to figure out how we can talk best with kids and help calm them and then take care of needs, for example, food.
Right. Well, what did you decide about meeting students' nutritional needs over time?
So what we did was we followed the format that was put out by the Michigan Department of Education, that we can put out 2 meals a day, 7 days a week. So that's a pretty exciting opportunity. And we started this morning. We had 1,000 breakfasts and 1,000 lunches prepared, which will give us 500 students 2 days worth of meals. And then we sent bus loads out to our community. We have 42 bus stops in our community, and we put out a schedule, and I'm just getting feedback now of parents, you know, wondering which bus or which stop, trying to direct people. If you go 2 blocks this way and 1 block that way, you're going to catch the next bus in 5 minutes. And so people are going out and picking up their lunches, and everything seems to be going really well.
So putting the school buses to work for this, I like that approach. What were the discussions like about how much contact there'll be between students and teachers over the extended break?
So that's the next part that we're working on right now. Today we've asked all of our teachers to call each of their students. So at the elementary level, it's their regular homeroom class. At the secondary level, we have an advisory period, so we ask the teachers to call that class list. And what they're doing today is they're just reaching out and saying, hey, this is kind of weird, right? But we're going to figure it out together. And then they're asking about their internet access. So do they have Wi-Fi? Do they have a device that they can use? And if the answers to that are no, then they're helping them problem solve it. There's some great programs out there. Comcast was the first to reach out to us, so we're recommending that. Kids can sign up, or families can sign up, for 60 days for free. And so we're helping them helping them get connected to that. And then the next step, if they're missing a device, is to kind of get an idea of how many people are in the house, what age level the child is. If they're younger, they could probably work with a tablet. If they're older, they might need a Chromebook. And we'll take a look at what the needs are and what our current inventory at school is, and then see what we can do. And perhaps later this week, when we're delivering lunches, we might be delivering some devices as well.
I know a lot of this is just getting worked out, but does it seem to make more sense to let teachers work this out class by class, or to try to have some sort of policy that the whole district can look at and try to put into place?
So I guess we're doing a little bit of both. So we're trying to take a district systematic approach, but then asking the teachers to make those connections, because they have the relationships built with the kids, right? Just like we know that change really happens and the work really happens with the teacher in the classroom, that's where we're going to see the greatest impact here, between the teacher and the classroom. And then we're fortunate to have a number of coaches and instructional assistants and other support staff on our team. And we're asking them to make that specialist of who they think they've got great relationships with. And then they're going to follow back up and do some additional phone contacts. So I don't think we can reach out too much, and especially with the people that have made that relationship and connection with the kids.
Are a lot of people asking you whether the school year is going to be extended?
I'm starting to hear that question, yes. And my solid answer is I have no idea. We'll wait to see.
I mean, does that depend on how many days students end up missing?
Yeah, it takes the legislature to change if we're going to have less than 180 days of instruction. Last year, they did that because of all those crazy snow days, right?
Right.
So we'll wait and see. This year is a very different event, but we'll wait and see what they tell us we need to do.
Renee Garcia is the superintendent of Muskegon Heights Schools. Mrs. Garcia, thanks a lot.
Thank you.